talk about today is, what is the connection between our joy and His glory? How do those things come together? You know, the word joy is mentioned a lot in the Bible, and we see it a lot of places, but certainly within the Psalms, they're filled with references of joy. The psalmist writes, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Shout for joy to God, all the earth." And I might say that authentic, lasting, abiding joy flows from the heart of the Father to us and through us to others. Let me read to you Ephesians 1. I'll read verses 3 through 6, a beautiful, beautiful passage. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." So as we choose God above all else, as we choose His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, above all else, it's to His good pleasure, it's to His will, and it's to the praise of His glory, of His grace. And so here is the key thought today. It's that when we are joyfully surrendered and truly satisfied in Him, we become a praise to His glory. There is no conflict between our joy and God's glory. His glory shines in our happiness. If our joy and our happiness are in Him, of course, God is the source of our greatest joy, and He is the treasure above all treasures in this world. Downstairs in class today, we read part of Peter's great sermon in the book of Acts, and a portion of that is from Acts 16. And I want to read a portion of that is from Psalm 16. I want to read to you Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. It says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope. For You will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will You allow Your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In Your presence is the fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore." You know, God exalts Himself. He desires, He wants to be exalted, and He exalts Himself, and we strive to exalt Him as well. But His self-exaltation is really an act of love when you think about it, because He is exalting before us the only thing that can truly satisfy and save us, and that's Him, of course. So if we exalt ourselves, we're in trouble, because we cannot save anyone. In fact, we only distract from God. And so we want to be sure that we're always striving to exalt Him. And if God exalts Himself, He draws attention to the person, the only person who can make us joyful forever, Himself. He's an infinitely all-glorious, all-satisfying God, and He offers us everlasting, supreme, unspeakable joy in Himself through Jesus Christ. When we are joyfully surrendered and satisfied in Him, we become a praise to His glory. That's a statement I want you to lay hold of today. God's design is for us to pursue His glory. And it turns out that is a thing it's a thing of love that He has for us. And so our duty to pursue God's glory turns out to be a quest, in a sense, for our own joy. Because as we pursue Him and receive Him, We are given joy, and this just keeps going. But you know, it's so easy today to become distracted, disconnected from what we say is the central treasure of our lives, the Lord Jesus. And if we're honest, I think there are far too many times when, rather than clinging to Christ, our affections are attracted and captured by all kinds of other things. I'll give you just one example, and there are many. There are many. Our culture nowadays, it seems, is a feast of multimedia, right? I'm told there's new video games that come out every month, right? It seems like Hollywood releases a new movie every week, or they used to. There's new YouTube videos every minute. There's social updates every second. And there's, I guess, Instagram images, new ones, every refresh. And so we have all of these things that are attracting us, that are pulling at us, they're capturing us. And if we're not careful, we begin to lose sight. We become disconnected from the greatness of our God and to really, truly being disciples and followers of Christ. The truth is, these images, in this example, one example we're giving, these images, they provoke something in us, don't they? And in addition to that, they want to extract something from us. They do take our time, our attention. They elicit outrage at times, lust, affections. They want our money. They want our votes. They want all kinds of things. Every picture, every video, every viral tweet that comes before us has expectations and elicits desires and can affect us in a myriad of ways. And they're always asking for something in return, in a sense. And I think what we have to remember is we're not just merely seeing them and ingesting them. We are constantly responding to them as well. And they awaken, as I mentioned earlier, they awaken things within us. They tug at our heartstrings and our affections. They want us, as I said before, they want us to celebrate. They want us to be in awe. They want our affection, our time. They want to make us mad or sad or angry or whatever. But it can be a road that takes us away from the centrality of Christ. It can dilute us, distract us to a point that we are no longer being a praise to His glory. Or maybe just another minor example might be, maybe you're like me. At times you allow the joy suckers to affect you, and can be, and I lose my joy. Sometimes it's politicians or the government or other people. They rob me, or I allow them. I allow them to rob me of my joy and sometimes my opportunity to bring glory to God. I can get distracted, disappointed with it all. And the thing is, though, as I do that, it not only affects me, but it affects those around me, my children, my grandchildren, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ. They're all affected by what's happening in my mind and my heart. And if we're not careful, we know our kids are watching, right? And they will feed on our frustration and our fear. And so in front of our children, really at all times, again, we need to be joyfully surrendered and satisfied in Him so that we can always be a praise to His glory. I know we don't want our kids to be hopeless or fearful. We want them to be the same. We want them to be hopeful, to be positive, to be surrendered, to be satisfied, to see the majesty and the glory and the greatness and the goodness of our God. But we have to be a part of that, and we have a great responsibility in our stewardship of the little ones and all of those that are around us. I have a confession to make. I read this on Facebook, what I'm going to read to you, but I just thought it was very good, because in these times, and maybe you may have read it as well, but in these times, I think we struggle with concern about our kids. What will tomorrow bring? How will they be tested? How will they be tried? Will they be deceived? Will they stay true to our Lord Jesus Christ? We have all of those questions. So listen to what this parent wrote. They said, "Don't feel sorry for or fear for your kids because the world they are growing up in is not what it used to be. God created them and called them for the exact moment in time that they're in. Their life wasn't a coincidence or an accident. Raise them up to know the power they walk in as children of God. Train them in the authority of His Word. Teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is in control. Empower them to know they can change the world by the grace and power of God. Don't teach them to be fearful or disheartened by the state of the world, but hopeful that they can do something about it. Every person in all of history has been placed in the time that they are in because of God's sovereign plan. He knew Daniel could handle the lion's den with his strength. He knew David could handle Goliath with God's strength. He knew Esther could handle Haman. He knew Peter could handle persecution. He knows that your child can handle whatever challenge they may face in their life. He created them specifically for it. So train them up, equip them, encourage them, and empower them in the Lord. Usher them into Christ that they might have a saving relationship with Him. Don't be scared for your children, but be honored that God chose you to parent the generation that is facing the biggest challenge of our lifetime. Raise up to the challenge. Raise Daniels, Davids, Esthers, and Peters. God isn't up there somewhere scratching His head, wondering what He's going to do with this mess of a world. He has an army. He's raising up to drive back the darkness and to make Him known throughout all the earth. Don't let your fear steal the greatness God has placed in them. I know it's hard to imagine them as anything else but your sweet little babies. And we just want to protect them from anything that could ever be hard on them or harm them. But they were born for such a time as this. We are sending the future exactly what it needs. Boys and girls, soon to be men and women who carry the knowledge and the power of Christ with them. God's demand for our praise is not vain. All enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. And as we praise Him and as we follow Him and as our kids see this, it affects them and encourages them and empowers them. Boy, I was so encouraged by reading that. I really appreciate whatever parent wrote that. You know, the thing about praise is that we praise whatever has value to us, right? We say things like, "Isn't she lovely? Wasn't that just glorious? Don't you think that was magnificent?" Of course. And so as we're seeing and savoring the greatness and the majesty of God before our kids, they see it, and God takes on great value to them, and they are drawn to Him. And so that is a high calling for us as parents. I want to read to you just a little bit from Psalm 34 and Psalm 111. I think we'll put it on the screen there. I didn't write down the exact verses there. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and they were radiant and their faces were not ashamed." Psalm 111, "Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all of them who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness, it endures forever. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and he's full of compassion. Do you feel the passion and the praise and the surrender and the satisfaction of the writer there? This man is fully satisfied in his God. He's surrendered to his God. He's in awe of the majesty of his Lord. I pray that we could be the same. We delight to praise what we enjoy. And praise not merely expresses, but it completes our enjoyment in a sense. It completes our enjoyment. And you've probably had a situation in your life where you encountered something spectacular, maybe it was just you, and you can't wait. You just can't wait to tell your wife, to tell your husband, to tell your friend. And as you tell them what you encountered, what you saw, there's a consummation there. It's part of the whole process. The delight is not complete until it's expressed in a sense. So as God demands our praise to him, God is demanding the completeness of our joy, of our pleasure. It's, as you think about it, it's an amazing thing. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 says, "According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Christ is glorified in you when he is more precious to you than anything in this world, anything this world can offer. When he is more precious to you than life itself. Philippians 3:8 says, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." Do you see the great value that's being placed upon Christ there? God, in fact, created the world, created us, all of us, for the praise of the glory of his grace. That's why we're here, for the praise of the glory of his grace. God upholds his glory and provides our forgiveness. And that's all part of this. In Christ's death, he does it. And at the cross, God vindicates, in a sense, his own honor and secures our joy and happiness in the process. At the cross, God magnifies his own worth and satisfies our own soul. Now, here's the deal. As we think about that phrase again, ponder it a bit more with me. When we are joyfully surrendered and satisfied in him, we become a praise to his glory. If that is true, and I believe the word says it's true, how then should this affect our life, how we live life, how we encounter things, and how we think and move through our day? So I want to give you some things to think about, accompanied with a verse. This first one is Matthew 13:44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." He has found a treasure, right? And as you become a Christian, as you surrender to Christ, it means that not only you're believing the truth about Christ, but that also you have found a great treasure. A treasure of treasures, the most valued treasure in all of the world. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Faith is seeing and savoring this treasure we have in Christ. And we have to, faith is a fight. There's a fight of faith. to believe, to hold on, to cling to not give up, because we have all of these doubts and fears and twisted things coming at us that are telling us that it's not true, that we should give up, that we should walk away. And so we fight that with our faith, and we say, no, I am a child of God. I do treasure Him. He belongs to me, and I am in Him, and He is in me. And so we fight as this is, because this is the most precious treasure of all time. Jeremiah 2:13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have made themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." We're constantly, I think, fighting this battle of idolatry as well. And when we see the majesty and the greatness and the goodness of our God, above all else, everything else falls and settles to the side. And we're not creating false gods. We're not involved in idolatry, because our fullest satisfaction is in Him. And we have encountered this river of life, this river of blessing that fully satisfies us. And we can recognize the idolatry. We want nothing to do with it, because we know the origin of all things. We've encountered the God of the universe. We have been saved for today, and we have the hope of eternity. Mark 8:34 says, "When He had called the people to Himself with His disciples also, He said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me.'" As we are fully satisfied and surrendered to God, we indeed do become a praise to His glory. But as that happens, it also enables us, empowers us to deny ourselves. And that is a struggle for most of you, whether you believe it or not. It is for me, and I think it's for you too. So, but it's so much easier when Christ is everything, when we understand who He is and the love that He has for us. And so then it's much easier to deny the wealth of the world, because we have the wealth and riches of Christ. It's much easier to deny ourselves the fame of the world, to have the joy of God's approval. It's easier to deny the so-called security and safety of the world, because we have a solid foundation. We have the hope. We have the power of God vibrating within us that will usher us into eternity through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's easier to deny these short, really unsatisfying pleasures of the world, because we understand the fullness of joy and the pleasures that are forever at God's right hand, the Word says. So denial can become a delight. Denial can become a delight. And maybe that's not where you're at right now. You're saying, temptation, denying self, no, that's a fight. I'm telling you that denying self can become a delight, but it can only become a delight if you're delighting in our great God and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, if you're fully surrendered and fully satisfied in Him. Acts 20, verse 33. "I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus, what He said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And along with that text, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." When you are fully satisfied in God, when you're fully surrendered to Him, all these other things, they lose their value. And generosity becomes much easier. Generosity not only expresses, but expands the joy of God within us. Psalm 25:1 and Psalm 103:1. O Lord, you are my God, and I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. When you're fully satisfied in him and surrendered to him, worship, it's an overflow of being in a place of awe of the majesty of our God, being fully satisfied in his goodness, in his greatness, in his grace, to the praise of his glory. Worship takes on a whole new depth and meaning. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, therefore I am strong. When we're surrendered to and fully satisfied in God, persecutions and trials and hard times and frustrations, they take on a whole new aura. It changes the way we experience disabilities and weaknesses and difficulties. They can become a source of pleasure and boasting in Him. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Just a couple more and we'll wrap this up. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. These people in Macedonia had come to a place where they were very poor in the standards of the world, but yet they were so rich in Christ, and they were sharing their riches liberally with all those they would encounter. So though they were in extreme poverty, they were making others rich. Though they had nothing, they possessed everything that really mattered. The richness of God's love and grace overflowed to those around them. And that's what happens when you're fully satisfied in Him and surrendered to Him, to His praise of His glory. The last one, 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy. For by faith you stand. We are fellow workers for your joy. I love that. What a beautiful picture of ministry. We're fellow workers for each other's joy. And that joy, of course, is in the Lord. Ministering and working for the joy of others, that too comes from this place of being surrendered and satisfied to such a degree that we are a praise to His glory. And we're wanting to usher others there so they can be the same as we share Christ and they see our joy and our completeness and our hope. They too can accept Christ, and they too can be fully satisfied and surrendered to God, that they too might be a praise to His glory. I want to close our time in the Word today with that initial text I read out of Ephesians 1, Listen to it once more. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So when we choose him, my friends, when we choose him above all else, it's his good pleasure. It's his will. It's to the praise of the glory of his grace. And so I pray that you would leave here today saying, that is what I want. I want to be a praise to his glory. And I know that when I am joyfully surrendered to him, when I am fully satisfied in him, then I indeed will become a beautiful praise to his glory. I'd like you to, if you would, bow with me as we take this to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today that you are our great God, that you have provided so miraculously for us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Father, it's our prayer today, if there is anyone here in the sanctuary that doesn't know Jesus as Savior, Lord, that they would surrender and become fully satisfied in you. Father, forgive us that we are at times disconnected and distracted from you. Lord, I pray that you would take preeminence, that you would be exalted in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, that truly, Father, our lives, all that we are, would be a reflection, would echo that phrase. Lord, that as we are surrendered fully to you, as we are completely satisfied in you, Lord, we will become a praise to your glory. And Father, I want you to know that's what we want above all else. And we understand that is why we were created. That's what we're called to. So God, help us by your Spirit, by your word, guide us, inspire us, equip us to be a praise to your glory. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Sabbath. God be with you.